Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Blinds.com is kicking off the savings early with Black Friday mega deals all month long. Avoid the home renovation overwhelm. Swapping out old blinds for custom window coverings is a small project with big results. And Blinds.com makes it easy and affordable. It's a busy season. Skip the long lines or waiting around all day just to get a quote. With Blinds.com, shopping online doesn't mean sacrificing on quality, style, or service. A Blinds.com design expert can help you make the perfect selection on your schedule. We can even handle everything from measure to install. And you can get window treatments for your whole home installed for just one low cost. With over 25 million windows covered, Blinds.com is the number one online retailer of custom window coverings. Shop Black Friday mega deals all month long at Blinds.com. Get up to 45% off select styles. Plus, score premium doorbusters and a free professional measure right now at Blinds.com. That's up to 45% off and a free measure now at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Let's get this out of the way first on a Donnie Football Friday. Donnie is trying to mask the fact that he's sick. He came into the studio. Doran and I and Crowley were kibitzing, I guess is the word, and Donnie came in very cryptically and not very friendly, and I sensed that you hurt Doran's feelings with the way you came in. He had an enthusiastic hello for you, and you were like, "Hi." But then we quickly realized, all three of us, that since you have a cup of tea and you're absolutely not a tea guy, that you're masking that you're sick, so I'm not even going to ask you if that's the case. It is. Why are you doing that?
I got to protect the voice. I got a lot this weekend, Joe, that a lot of people are relying on me on. We got this today for 4 hours.
Are you sure you didn't just want to keep it from me because I'm hyper paranoid and a hypochondriac?
Maybe that too. Yeah, you would have brought like spray in here that would have taken down the entire studio. probably would have made Dr. Fauci proud. But I got this for 4 hours. We got high school football tonight. I'll be down on the sidelines. It'll be chilly. I'm hosting tomorrow morning. I'm doing a college game tomorrow afternoon. I got a busy little weekend of yapping. I got to protect the voice. I'm not really, like, I don't feel sick, but I felt like yesterday.
Hints of it, yeah, and your whole show's sick. Pony sounded like crap yesterday.
Oh, he
Malzi's
sounded awful.
Been sick for a week, and whatever they got, I got. Because there's this weird thing. I don't know what's happening, but I'm constantly clearing my throat and I have aches in my legs, and I blame them because, you know, I mean, look at the studio in here, Donnie. Doesn't take a genius to figure out that if you're breathing in here for 4 hours, that things are going to stay in here.
Aches in your legs?
Yeah.
That doesn't sound good.
No, they got me sick. So I actually appreciate what you've done here, and I'm excited for another Donnie Football Friday. You?
I'm elated, Joe. I know I didn't come into the studio maybe with that feel. Maybe I was just hyper-focused.
I think you were.
On putting together a good Football Friday.
I can't wait. City Limits is missing, unfortunately. But fortunately for us, we have Joel Lee Nelson. First time I've worked with him in a while. You two are well acquainted, yes?
I worked with Joel, a little bit over 12 hours ago.
Pretty much.
Yesterday evening.
Yeah.
6 to 7:30 leading up to the great Thursday night football game that I know we'll get into.
You got a Penn State shirt on there, Jolie?
Tyrese Halliburton, Indiana Pacers.
Ooh, I like that a lot.
Jolie also, he has a good array of jerseys.
Yeah.
Like the shirt jerseys.
Right.
He walked in with a Ja'Marr Chase last night, and look how he played.
Well, let's start there. Let's start there before we get into Steelers Commanders, and there's a lot to get into here on a Donnie Football Friday. What a football game that was. I think it's one of the greatest Thursday night games there's ever been, in my not-so-humble opinion. Donnie, I've got a couple questions for you coming out of that game. In fact, a series of questions. One, what did you think of the Bengals going for two? Smart, dumb?
I think it's smart. I think it's a play that, hey, if we get this, then it does put the onus on Lamar Jackson to drive right down and get a field goal. They very well could have done it. They had a timeout in their back pocket. They had, 45 seconds?
They only had one timeout, the Ravens? You sure they didn't have more?
I thought it was just one.
Okay.
Because I feel like the broadcast crew gave credit, like, oh, the Ravens have held on to this timeout. So they could have had time to go down and kick a field goal, absolutely. Even though Tucker has had a shaky year, he missed extra point last night. And they probably just saw what happened, and what happens all the time when a game goes to overtime and you're playing against a great offense. I think Cincinnati knew if we go to overtime tied and Baltimore gets the football, we don't have a whole lot of confidence our defense is going to stop Lamar Jackson from shoving it right down our throat.
I know, but that was maybe going to happen anyway. Plus, what about your own offense? What if Joe Burrow gets the ball first?
And you're playing a whole game of what if.
Right. Which you are, I guess, with the two-point conversion, too. I felt like they should tie the game after everything that had happened. Let's get out of here with a tie, go to overtime, and take our chances. Go to overtime and take our chances because there was too much time left on the clock. And I'm not even going to sit here and say that's a scientific reason why, because if there was 10 seconds left or 15 or something like that, I think I would have gone for the win. I'm generally in favor of going for the win. But with that much time left, if you go ahead, you really force Lamar to go down the field and go for that field goal. If it's tied, he still has a chance to do that, but he's not. He and they are not as motivated to do that, I don't think. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, there's
not
the urgency. Just sit on the ball.
Well, no, I still think they would have gone for it, but I don't think they have the urgency. They're not compelled to get down there and go for a field goal. I'd rather not have them in that position. Maybe that's a horrible reason, Donnie. Now that I say it out loud, I can only tell you the feeling I had was with this much time left on the clock, just tie the game. That's the way I felt. Because it wasn't a win or lose last second play. Somehow, I would have gone for it. I would have felt compelled to go for two if it was. Does that make any sense at all?
Yeah, I think it was actually a rare case where the coach could be justified either way. If he kicks the extra point, the game is tied. They go to overtime, then who knows what happens. But I think in the back of their minds, they're thinking if Baltimore gets the football,
sure,
we're going to lose this game.
Sure.
But then if you go for two, you get it. You do put some pressure on Lamar Jackson and that offense. And, hey, maybe they pressure themselves into a mistake, or maybe they actually have a drive a lot like the first half, because they weren't going down the field so easily the first half of the game.
They were horrible until late in that game, and then it was like, it reminded me of a basketball game. In fact, one I just watched on the other night, Celtics-Warriors, the Jason Tatum game, where he was brutally bad for 2.5 quarters or so, maybe a little less than that, and then suddenly caught fire. Like if Lamar were a three-point shooter, he was 0-for-10, you know, after 2.5 quarters, and then once he drained one, he finished the game with 57 points. You know what I mean? It reminded me of that. So maybe I'm arguing myself out of that because he was so hot that, yeah, if he gets it first, you're really relying on a coin toss. But isn't the two-point play kind of a coin toss too? Especially when you throw it to the wrong guy?
It is, but I guess in that case, it's if we get it, then we are in the best position to win this football game, and we just have to simply hope our defense can stop Lamar Jackson at least once or twice. Because I don't know, let's say there's a sack on first down or
sure,
something like that.
Yeah,
Baltimore has to use that timeout. Like, it could have gone south.
Maybe the Ravens
for Baltimore in a rushed scenario.
Maybe,
whereas in overtime they could go at their own pace.
Yeah, no, I hear that. I guess my rationale, flawed as it might be, is, after the way this game has gone, let's just get to overtime and hope we get the ball first. And let's have a situation where the Ravens maybe are thinking the same thing that a lot of people are thinking, like, oh my God, you don't want to give the ball to Lamar. He had a 50% chance to get it in overtime. Like they may have felt less compelled and less pressure to get down the field in those 38 seconds. You know what I mean? I would have been way more driven to try that two-pointer if it truly was a win-or-lose scenario. 38 seconds in a timeout is a lot of time. And I know you could come back with, well, he still would have had that and could have gone down the field. And I can't argue that. I can only say what feelings were cropping up inside my head. That's the way I felt. Maybe it was just a gut feel. Listen, Zach, you're kind of, I won't say lucky, but in a way lucky to be here. Let's get to overtime. If you win the toss, they can't stop you either. Because there's no guarantee you're going to get the two here.
Yeah, it really came down to if it would have gone to overtime, who would have gotten the ball? Because I had zero confidence, and I'm sure both of the teams had zero confidence their defense was going to stop.
Man, doesn't that say a lot that Zach Taylor, clearly what he was thinking? It reminded me of Tomlin in the first ever Aaron Rodgers-Ben matchup. Remember that legendary game that ended on a Mike Wallace touchdown at the buzzer?
Yes.
Tomlin was ahead late in the fourth quarter and tried an onside kick. And I would maintain, unless someone can prove me wrong, that he was the only coach in NFL history who tried an onside kick with the lead late in the fourth quarter. I would maintain he was the only guy in history who did that, and I've always defended him for it. And he, to his everlasting credit, didn't BS anybody after the game. He said, I didn't think we could stop him, so I wanted to get the ball back. And the beauty of that, too, I think he also said this, although I wouldn't swear to it, was that, and if they got the ball, they're closer and they can score anyway faster and we can still get it back. Mm-hmm. He said that in so many words, and that's exactly what happened. He did an onside kick with a lead in the fourth quarter. But that gets to the point of, what does it say about Zach Taylor's confidence in that crappy defense? And then the Ravens have a bunch of, like, 5'7" guys covering people out there and no Kyle Hamilton. So question number two, actually, I'm going to save that question. Question number two, while we're on the topic, should there have been a penalty called on the 2-point conversion? And if so, which one?
I actually thought so. Now, at first glance, I wasn't really thinking about it because normally you don't see those pop up unless it's blatant until they show a replay.
Yeah.
We know where the league comes down, though, on blows to the head of the quarterback. And there was a play on that same drive where Burrow took a similar shot to the head.
Yeah.
That resulted in a penalty.
Yes.
And
that's the thing that really galls me about this, Donnie, is the overprotectiveness of quarterbacks to the point of lunacy, to the point where there's a rule on the books that actually reads, if you land with more than half your body weight on the quarterback, it's a penalty. As if anybody could determine what's 51% of your body weight compared to 49. So we're going to go so far out of our way to protect our precious quarterbacks that we're going to have an insane rule like that on the books. And then you have a game, a critical game, maybe for the Bengals, a season-defining game, end where you don't protect the quarterbacks, but worse than that, you don't have a mechanism by which to reverse or correct or make the right decision there. What are we doing 50 years after Mike Renfro if we can have a play like that with an obvious head foul on the quarterback and there's no mechanism by which to get that called and do the play over? It's a massive fail. Replay is a massive fail. The overprotectiveness of quarterbacks is a massive fail. And I know none of it matters because you can't screw up the NFL, just like the NCAA basketball tournament. Nobody can screw it up. That doesn't mean it's right, Donnie. That was egregious and wrong, and the Bengals deserved another play.
And I'm sure you've noticed over the course of the season, they're starting to implement more that replay assist, the really quick replay where officials will step right back in. Oh, thanks to replay assist. I'm surprised, or I guess I won't be surprised if we get maybe even next year or a couple of years down the line where plays like that, where they quickly look at, that was a blow to the head.
Yeah,
that
what's
should
taking
probably
so
be,
long? What's taken so long? If the idea here is to, oh my God, our precious little quarterbacks we must protect at every turn, why isn't there a person in the press box whose job it is to look at every single quarterback hit and say, yeah, that's a legit call, or not a legit call, or yeah, you missed that one. Burrow just got smacked in the face, so call it. There should be someone up there, Donnie. You can give him whatever name you want to call it. He's the quarterback replay person, whatever. I don't care. Call him anything you want. That person only looks at hits on the quarterback because we've reached a point in the NFL where whether they get him right or wrong, whether it's overprotective or in this case underprotective, these kinds of plays are deciding seasons.
They probably could have called a holding call or a pass interference penalty, too, on that play.
But absolutely.
I thought for sure, given what you saw on the replay, like basically a pretty clear strike to the head, not like a punching motion, but just a guy with his arms up who came down on Joe Burrow's head.
Blinds.com is kicking off the savings early with Black Friday mega deals all month long. Avoid the home renovation overwhelm. Swapping out old blinds for custom window coverings is a small project with big results. And Blinds.com makes it easy and affordable. It's a busy season. Skip the long lines or waiting around all day just to get a quote. With Blinds.com, shopping online doesn't mean sacrificing on quality, style, or service. A Blinds.com design expert can help you make the perfect selection on your schedule. We can even handle everything from measure to install. And you can get window treatments for your whole home installed for just one low cost. With over 25 million windows covered, Blinds.com is the number one online retailer of custom window coverings. Shop Black Friday mega deals all month long at Blinds.com. Get up to 45% off site-wide, plus premium doorbusters, and a free professional measure right now at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Ed.
Yeah.
I thought that would absolutely be a penalty on any other play. It was a penalty 5 plays ago.
Right.
When they were driving down the field.
Yes. It was like a treatise, like a referendum, like a doctorate written on that drive on everything that's wrong with how they adjudicate hits on quarterbacks. It was a Div Kabali saying it was a joke. Rarely do I call for this, but this is the perfect time for it. Look in Limit's folder, Jolie, and it's Mark Kabali. It was a joke. That leads me to my third question, Donnie. It's wonderful to have you, but there we go. That's the big boy. You working with him this weekend?
No, I'm actually off the pregame stuff. I'm taking a trip down. My family lives in D.C., so Sarah and I may go to the game, depending on how tickets are looking. Josh Rountree has the pregame on Sunday.
Nice. All right. I was just checking, Donnie. The third question from that game. If you're a Steeler fan, and you are you feeling better about the Steelers stacking up against those two teams against whom they still have 4 games, or worse, maybe better because you looked at both of those defenses, or worse because you looked at both of those quarterbacks?
Oddly better. And maybe that's just because of what we've seen from the Steelers so far this season, especially the last 2 games with Russell Wilson. But that was one of the things I was thinking about as that fourth quarter was going on. That's when the light show really started to take place.
Yeah.
But I thought to myself, you know what's refreshing about this? You know what's nice about this? We haven't been able to say in the last couple of years that if this turns into a shootout,
right,
the Steelers were in this game, they'd be cooked. They'd be done. Whether it was the last year of Roethlisberger or the whole Trubisky, Pickett, even the Rudolph train, If they got into that game against those two quarterbacks and those two offenses, they would not be able to stack up or catch up if they fell behind. I felt like last night, after watching that game, that the Steelers were in that conversation, that they were just as good, if not better, than the two teams we were watching. I know that you could easily say, well, Russell Wilson's not better than Joe Burrow or Lamar Jackson. I'm not necessarily saying that. I just think overall, the Steelers are absolutely playing the same caliber of football. There were times the last few years, it looked like the Steelers, offensively mostly, they weren't even playing the same sport.
Yeah.
But it doesn't look like that now.
Yeah, and they've got a lot of breaks not playing against Burrow or Jackson pretty frequently lately. I agree with many of the syllables you just uttered, Donnie, but not all of them. I definitely feel way better about the Steelers' ability to win a game like that, whether it's those two guys or Buffalo, or should a game like that against Kansas City turn into, you got to score 35 to win. That was a sure loss to me in recent years, should a game have come to that, like their playoff games. I feel much better about that. I do. But somehow, man, I come out of that feeling like those quarterbacks at the tops of their games, those are two of the best, I think, four guys in the league, however you want to shake it out. Mahomes, because of what we all know he can do.
Yeah.
Josh Allen, Lamar, and Burrow. And Burrow is back at the top of his game. So I feel like while the Steelers would have a much better chance, they'd have a chance to win a game like that. If you're going back and forth, shot for shot, you know, again, like the other night, Curry against Tatum, I don't feel great about going against Burrow or Lamar when it's shot for shot. I feel like those guys are ultimately going to wear you down. And if, God forbid, they get the last shot, I think they're going to win those games. So it was very, very even how I felt in regard to, from the Steelers' perspective, do you feel better or worse about facing these teams? Still slightly worse just because of the rarefied level those two guys are at.
I also, and I apologize if this was another one of your questions. I forget how many you had at the outset here, but I had a weird and unpopular take going into last night's game. And I think it was something that Doug Whaley said with the morning show on Wednesday. Yesterday, I discussed it with Pony and Chris in the afternoon. They both said it was one of the dumbest things they've ever heard.
Mm.
I feel that it is not the case. I went into last night actually rooting for Baltimore to win the game. I know it would make the division title a little bit more difficult for the Steelers, but I want as many body blows to Joe Burrow and the Bengals as humanly possible.
Mm.
I want that team to be out of the equation, out of the question, out of sight, out of mind by the time we get close to the playoffs. I'm not saying that they're out of it by any means. They can surely make a run, and I still think they very well will do that. But them losing last night, that does push them back to 4-6. It hurts their division record, hurts the conference record. And the way I laid it out to the guys, if you're playing a playoff game tomorrow, no matter where it's at, home or away, a playoff game specifically, would you rather see Lamar Jackson on the other side or Joe Burrow on the other side? I want no part of playoff Joe Burrow.
I actually admire that take, and I think there's some merit to it. I'm not going to rip you like they did. Here's the other thing about the Bengals, by the way. You talk about a hot take that I could get ripped for. I thought they actually had a great plan last night. We're playing great defense. And sometimes, again, I'll go with a basketball analogy. Sometimes you can guard a guy and have a great scheme against him. And if he's Kevin Durant and he's 6'10 and can shoot from 30 feet out, you still can't guard him.
Mm-hmm.
And if he gets hot, like that was more about Lamar and his greatness than it was the Bengals' defense. I honestly believe that. And I think the Bengals are mighty dangerous moving forward. I think they're going to play better defensively the rest of the year against mortal quarterbacks. And I think what you're saying offensively is obvious. Who the hell would want to play him and them at this point? But the same goes for Lamar, for me, with those guys. And the last thing I'll say about that game is I was listening to the morning show. Deontay Johnson, like, what are you doing? You've won nothing in your career. You just went to the Ravens. The Ravens said that they want you. They bring you in. You basically pee all over yourself in the game last night. You fall down on that. And then you feel compelled and go out of bounds on another one, right? Or didn't go out of bounds.
He failed to get out of bounds. You know who tackled him?
Who?
Mike Hilton.
That's right. And after the game, you feel compelled to tweet out, it's always two sides to a story with a shrug. Let me tell you something, Deontay. Nobody really cares about you right now in the league anymore. And that would include, I think, the Ravens. You know what I mean? You're not a difference-making player. They probably don't even think they need you. They scored 1 million points last night basically without you. What happened to this guy? I remember talking to his high school coach when he first emerged with the Steelers He's like, this guy, you know, humble guy, you know, all he does is work, blah, blah, blah. When did he get like Antonio Brown happening for him? And why would that be merited? You have the audacity to tweet after that game, an unbelievable win for your team, to make yourself a story now after that? After flopping on the field on a wide open pass? What is he doing, Donnie? And how long does he last there? And what happened to him? Yeah, I know. That's a triple barrel of questions.
I think this is going to be, a 9 or 10 game experiment with them. And so far, 2 games in, it could not go any worse for where he's at. I mean, I guess he could have gone 0-0-0 again last night.
Like he could have run backwards debut for a safety 80 yards, I suppose, but yeah.
Well, he kind of did on that catch that he had across the middle when he tried to get out of bounds. He did pivot a little bit backwards there, and I think a lot of people watching around here thought that looked awfully familiar. But, I mean, one grab for 6 yards in 2 games in an offense that does not have star power at wide receiver. I mean, they have Zay Flowers, who I think is a really good player. But we got guys like Tylan Wallace out there.
I'm to the point where I don't think it matters.
Rashad Bateman, Nelson Agholor.
He could have 5 Gunnar Olszewskis out there. And again, I'll use the basketball analogy. Just get that guy the ball. I'll get you wide open dunks. I don't care if you're Frank Cornett out there for the Celtics. Just run around and I'll get you the ball if I'm not scoring myself. I feel like that about the Ravens right now.
And we know that he's in a contract year. I just think if it goes the same way it's been going, it'll be, well, we barely gave up anything for him when it came to draft capital to just be cut ties. He's gone at season's end.
Yeah.
But I just can't believe that 2 games in, the dude can barely get on the field. And when he does, that's what he's doing. That's what he's doing in this Ravens offense.
And then tweeting after it, Donnie. Like if I was a teammate or especially John Harbaugh, I'd just be fuming. Like, you're going to make you just got here 2 minutes ago. You want to make yourself a victim story after a game from who? The media? Us? What are you talking about? There's 2 sides to every story. I'd be tempted just to say forget it at some point with this guy. By the way,
quarterback just had 4 touchdowns and 290 yards.
And an incredible win, and now you make yourself a story. Nice job, Deontay. Somebody's running on loop that play over the middle. Have you actually seen the up close of it? Donnie?
I don't think I've seen the up close.
Just go to Twitter where it's from behind the action. And it looks like me in the middle of a basketball game or something. Look at him.
What's the
He's
name?
He's just flailing around.
Who's the person that tweeted it?
Dove Kleiman. Oh. You familiar with his work?
Oh yeah.
Wonderful man. Actually, I've never met him in my life. All right, Donnie, enough on that. Let's get to the ball game at hand. And I'm going to tell you this right off the top as I tease into the next segment. You're familiar with the phrase course correction, yes?
Yes.
I think one or both of these teams is due for one in the second half of the season. And I think the first team that's due for one is Washington. They're not a 7-2 team. I love Jaden Daniels. I think their offense is really fun to watch, and they're much improved. Those things are simply true, but they ain't a 7-2 team. They're not that good. At home, they have beaten the Giants, Browns, Panthers, and Bears, which means the quarterbacks they've beaten are Daniel Jones, Andy Dalton, Deshaun Watson, and Caleb Williams. Those teams are a combined 10 and 25 on the year. They've beaten one playoff team, and I don't think that team will make the playoffs. That's Arizona at 5-4. They're talented. They're fun to watch, but they're not this good. They are due for a course correction. Some of their weaknesses feed into the Steelers' strength. Notably, they can't stop the run. They average over 5 yards given up per carry. Steelers are great off the bye under Tomlin. They're great against rookie quarterbacks under Tomlin. Donnie, it's time for a course correction.
The Steelers have won 7 consecutive games off the bye, by the way. So to your point, they certainly play well after they get the week off. And go back to that game against Chicago, probably the best team they've played at home, barring a miraculous, and I think the most miraculous play over the course of the NFL all season, that Hail Mary that Jaden Daniels threw up there, and Noah Brown comes down with it. The Commanders don't win that game. The Commanders end up losing to the Bears, barring that miraculous play.
That's a great point, and Doran made it too, is not only have these teams been weak, it took a Hail Mary to beat one of them.
And also, it was all about preseason expectations with how now we look at these teams. I don't think many people thought that the Commanders, like, okay, maybe they'll be solid, maybe they'll win around six or seven games. I think their Vegas over-under was like 5.5 or 6.5. Jaden Daniels will do some really fun things, but he'll probably have some growing pains. Nobody thought they'd start out 7-2.
Right.
But you just listed off a bunch of the teams that they've played and have beaten. Think about what we go through every week with the Steelers. Oh, well, the Steelers haven't played anybody. Well, you look back at that schedule now, they've played a whole lot tougher of one than what the Commanders have played. And we have people saying Jaden Daniels is the league MVP. Dan Quinn already put it in Sharpie. He's the coach of the year. This team's going to maybe go to the NFC Championship game. I do think we're, just because the preseason expectation for the Commanders was pretty low, it wasn't a very high bar to jump over, people are blowing up like this team is bound for a miraculous Super Bowl run.
So it sounds like we agree early on Adani Football Friday that the Commanders are due for a course correction and that the Steelers are going to win this game. Do we?
I think we do agree. I'm not going to lie and say that I'm, you know, completely comfortable with them going into this game.
Because me neither.
We have seen, I think last year, a good comparison here when it comes to the quarterbacks. One of the few rookie quarterbacks that have beaten Mike Tomlin, that was C.J. Stroud. And I think that you can definitely draw comparisons between Stroud and Daniels.
Well, we're going to talk about that coming up. Want to hear from people on Adani Football Friday. 412-928-9370. You got opinions on that game last night from the AFC North? Anything about it? Would you have gone for two? The penalties that weren't called? The ridiculous adjudication of quarterback hits we saw on one drive there? And were you feeling better or worse about the Steelers' chances against these two teams after the game? And we have now moved on to how Donnie and I both feel like this is going to be a Steeler win. Not that there's not concerns. I'll tell you what my main concern about this game is. Next, off the top, I mean, of course there are. Jaden Daniels is great. I don't want anybody to take that wrong. Their offense is really, really explosive and good. So please don't take that the wrong way. But we'll talk about, I'll talk about coming up, the Steelers' main concern, besides the obvious, which is him. Off the top, presented by JP Roofing and Siding. Donnie, before we go, I think Deontay might be due. It's a little-known story here in Pittsburgh that Todd, who called you guys one day, Todd from Pittsburgh, had a suggestion for the Steelers' leadership core on how they should approach George Pickens. I'm pretty sure that the leaders did this with Pickens, and maybe the Ravens' leaders should approach Deontay when they see him in a couple days at practice. I'm sure you remember Todd's advice to the Steelers' leadership core on how they should deal with Pickens.
Does anybody anymore in a locker room, like, you know, TJ or Cam, come up to him and say, hey, what are you doing?
Right, Donnie? I mean, that's foolproof advice, isn't it?
It funny enough, it is.
Do you remember that call? Or were you not there that day?
I don't remember that call. Do we know what day that was?
It was when Pickens was going through his struggles. And I think Todd changed everything. Let's hear it one more time.
Look at him.
Yeah, before we part. Let's
Does anybody
that.
Anymore in a locker room, like, you know, TJ or Cam, come up to him and say, hey, what are you doing? Does anybody anymore
no, no, no.
in a locker room?
No, no, no. It's time to go, Joey.
Like, you know,
well, all right,
TJ
we'll hear it one more time.
Cam come up to him and say, hey, what are you doing?
Blinds.com is kicking off the savings early with Black Friday mega deals all month long. Avoid the home renovation overwhelm. Swapping out old blinds for custom window coverings is a small project with big results. And Blinds.com makes it easy and affordable. It's a busy season. Skip the long lines or waiting around all day just to get a quote. With Blinds.com, shopping online doesn't mean sacrificing on quality, style, or service.
A Blinds.com design expert can help you make the perfect selection on your schedule. We can even handle everything from measure to install. And you can get window treatments for your whole home installed for just one low cost. With over 25 million windows covered, Blinds.com is the number one online retailer of custom window coverings. Shop Black Friday Mega Deals all month long at Blinds.com. Get up to 45% off site-wide, plus premium doorbusters, and a free professional measure right now at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.